KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have a clear sky. It's 25 degrees. We'll look for partly cloudy skies today with a high around 50. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair, located at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. Police in Creston are reporting four recent arrests. Sunday evening, 46-year-old Marty Frank of Fort Dodge was arrested at the Supertel Inn and Conference Center in Creston on a charge of theft in the fifth degree. Frank was being held in the Union County Jail on a $300 bond. Sunday afternoon, 26-year-old Talid Jones and 21-year-old Cammy Hilton, both of Creston, were arrested on Union County warrants for violation of probation on original charges of possession of a controlled substance first offense. Both women were being held in the Ringgold County Jail without bond. And Friday night, 43-year-old Tim Cole of Creston was arrested for public intoxication. Cole was later released from the Union County Jail on a promise to appear in court. The Atlantic Business and Professional Women, or BPW, are again offering four scholarships this year for adults looking ahead back to school to further their education or to gain additional skills. Two $1,000 scholarships are available to a Cass County resident, male or female, needing education to either re-enter the workforce, gain additional education for a career, meet educational requirements for employment, or to continue education that was interrupted for family or other reasons. Applications must be submitted by April 1st. A $500 Colleen scholarship is available to a female resident of Cass, Shelby, or Audubon counties who is pursuing a career in computer science, management information systems, computer systems management, chemistry, or engineering. The student may be of any age and attend school full or part-time, and again, applications must be submitted by April 1st. A $1,000 Bev Mendenhall Nursing Scholarship is available to female residents of Cass County who want to re-enter the workforce, gain additional education for a career, meet educational requirements for employment, or to continue education that was interrupted for family or other reasons. Again, applications for that scholarship must be submitted April 1st. And BPW Iowa is awarding five $1,000 scholarships to a man or woman who is a resident of Iowa. The applicant need not be a BPW member, except in the case of a member living out of state. The applicant must also be a non-traditional student who is a U.S. citizen, has been out of the workforce and wants or needs to go back to work but needs additional education, has completed high school five or more years ago and now wants to start or resume their college education, and demonstrates financial need, scholarship ability, leadership skills, and career goals. Applications for the BPW Iowa scholarships must be postmarked by March the 1st. You can contact Jolene Rocker, BPW scholarship chairperson, at 712-249-7700 or email her at the email address located under this same story on the news page at KJAN.com. Elsewhere in state news, a Polk County judge has ordered law enforcement not to disclose confidential information in the case of a man accused of killing two Iowa police officers after the man's attorney had asked for a gag order. Lawyers for Scott Green complained about a Polk County jail employee's comment February 17th on a newspaper Facebook post regarding Green's request for a change of venue. Details about the comment were sealed by the court. Green has pleaded not guilty to two murder charges in the November 2nd ambush-style slayings of Urbandale police officer Justin Martin and Des Moines police sergeant Tony Bominio. The shootings took place about 2 miles apart within minutes of each other as both officers sat in their patrol cars. Authorities have said Green turned himself in hours later. 10 Iowa Department for the Blind employees have been laid off to provide more money to a program that would focus on job training for teacher or teenagers. Des Moines television station KCCI reports the layoffs occurred last Thursday. Eight of those who lost their jobs worked in the library helping the blind access books. Department Director Emily Wharton says new federal requirements mean the department must spend more of its budget on job training. Wharton said the agency is required to spend 15% of the money it gets on services for teenagers and young adults to help them become employed and successful. Books, she said, can be accessed through audio and digital braille. The Iowa Supreme Court has ruled that age alone is enough and to show the person needs protection from elder abuse under a state law enacted in 2014. The ruling comes in the case of 69-year-old Judith Chapman, who successfully obtained an elder abuse protection order against her adult son, John Wilkinson Jr., in late 2014. Chapman transferred title of her mobile home to Wilkinson, telling that when she died, the trailer would be his. Wilkinson later demanded $35,000 to transfer title back to his mother. When she refused, he posted eviction notices on her door. On Friday, Justice David Wiggins wrote, the law defines vulnerable adults as those 60 or older who are unable to protect themselves because of, quote, age or a mental or physical condition. Iowa's opioid epidemic and how it is affecting children is the subject of legislation making its way through the Iowa House and Senate. Child welfare experts say Iowa's child protection laws need to be updated to address the abuse of legal drugs. Currently, if a baby is born showing signs of exposure to an illegal drug, that has to be reported. The policies now focus heavily on methamphetamine, its manufacture, distribution, and use. Janae Harvey of the Department of Human Services says that approach is outdated.
These policies are being reformatted and changed to really recognize that there is a very big opioid epidemic.
The bill expands to cover legal drugs, including painkillers and alcohol. Harvey says if it's reported, families can get help.
We would be going in to basically knock on the door and assess the family to see what services they would need and be creating a corresponding plan of safe care for the caregiver and the child.
The legislation is the work of a task force on drug endangered kids and also requires notification if an infant shows signs of withdrawal from a legal drug such as painkillers or alcohol. Bills in the Republican-controlled Iowa legislature this session purport to enforce federal immigration laws, but academics say some proposals are redundant and could face legal challenges. The proposed bills include a so-called sanctuary cities ban that would require state, local, and college officials to follow laws related to immigration. Another proposal would ensure employers don't knowingly hire people who aren't in the country legally. And a third measure would prohibit Iowa courts from applying foreign law to state cases, which some critics say is anti-Islam. Legal experts and academics argue that existing federal laws already cover those topics, and adding new legislation could open the state up to lawsuits. Republicans dispute any argument that Iowa isn't welcoming to immigrants, and they emphasize that the measures ensure rules are followed. Well, a nutrient exchange similar to the carbon credits considered a few years ago at the federal level would be created in Iowa if legislation being developed by Republicans in the Iowa House becomes law. Republican Representative Chip Baltimore Boone says it's about sparking collaboration rather than confrontation to clean up the state's surface water.
At least in my conversations, there's broad-based, very generic interest in a nutrient exchange. We've got some pilot projects that are out there now that are working their way through. Having some formal recognition of a nutrient exchange may help move that process along.
Now here's how the nutrient exchange works. A facility that has to get a state permit because it discharges pollution, places like a water treatment plant or manufacturing facility, enters into a swap with a farmer. The end result, new financing for on-the-farm improvements to reduce nutrient runoff from cropland. Critics like Jessica Mazur of the Iowa Citizens for Community Improvement call it pollution trading.
You can make it as complicated as you want, but basically it does nothing but just transfers pollution across our state.
States like Connecticut, Virginia, Pennsylvania, and Ohio have established nutrient exchanges. Supporters say it's a market-based way to address the nutrient and sediment loss from farms. The news was brought to you by the TV Store, your local retailer for Sony and Dish Network and TV and cell phone repair, located at 903 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.